T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a little bit later than the typical time that we do Lakes Big Bet, but nonetheless, we want you guys to make some money. We want to have some fun here on Lakes Big Bet. Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, he joins me each and every Friday night. Jeff, what's going on with you, my man?
Hey, Henry, how you doing? We just wrapped up the second night of the Twin Cities Summer Jam, so I'm still sitting in the office after checking out a concert. It was a pretty good show tonight, really, and it cooled off. I mean, the heat for a show that started at, I believe, 3 o'clock was the first act went on, and it was, I don't know what the heat index was, 115 or something. By the time Aerosmith came on, beautiful night, really good crowd, and for 70-year-old guys, I mean, I hope I can perform like that at 70, Henry.
Hey, hold on. I got to have a little bit of fun with you right now because, all right, so I'm sitting here at the ballpark still, right? And tonight as I'm watching the fans were just, I mean, they were fanning themselves and trying to cool off, and it was, you know, muggy and it's superhuman and all that. I know that being out there in an atmosphere like that, I know that you sweat and you there's so much perspiration, but being in an environment like that at a concert, that's actually a little bit more fun in terms of dealing with the conditions, right?
Well, I think people dress
because it's festive
for a concert. It's very festive, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, there's always some issues with heat, no matter what's going on. But people had a really good time. And when by the time the sun started going down and the temperature really dropped, and it was pretty cool. It was really a good night and a good show. And I look forward to tomorrow as well.
Yeah. So there's one more day of Twin Cities Summer Jam, and it sounds like your guy Pitbull is going to be performing, right?
I don't know much about Pitbull. You know, I was
come on. You know, you're a big Pitbull guy.
Of the acts, Aerosmith was the one I was looking forward to. I remember I saw them. That was the first concert I went to by myself, Henry. I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old. I can't tell you how long ago it was. Well, I could. It was 1976, I think. Aerosmith, and then my parents let me go down to the old Civic Center in St. Paul. And
so wait, that was your first concert ever? Was Aerosmith?
That I went to alone. That I went without an adult. Friends, I went with a couple of friends who was all they also were. They're, I don't know, 13, 14 years old as well. So
okay,
yeah, really good show. And tonight these guys can still perform. So they really command a giant stage, and it was cool. It's fun to see acts.
But that's why they're legends. Back in, I want to say it was October, I saw Sting for the first time, and this guy is in better shape than most of us, right? I mean, he's in amazing shape, and he's just up there just doing his thing. And I'm like, this is why they're legendary performers, because they're so good at their craft.
Absolutely. When you look at their body of work and the way they're able to continue to perform, it's pretty amazing. I would say not unlike athletes, really, that know how to figure out eventually how to take care of themselves and prolong that career. I think it's fairly similar.
Yep. All right. So let's get to talking about the horses. And before we even start with any of the races that we'll dive into here this weekend, let's go back to last weekend, because right here on this show, this very segment, Faraway Kitten was a horse that we touted at Arlington, and he returned what?
It was like a $32 winner.
$32 winner. So people that bet that horse, they got paid, Jeff Madej.
We can ride on that one for a while, but yeah, every now and then you get lucky like that, and you saw.
No, that was not luck. We handicapped that.
I think we did, because I know what I saw when the horse ran at Canterbury and won our Mystic Lake Derby. I saw a move that really on paper you wouldn't have seen without going back and watching it and seeing what this horse did. So we got lucky. We got the perfect trip. I mean, you always have to say there's a little bit of luck when you have a big field in a turf race, but we got the perfect ride set right off the pace and just blew by with that same turn of foot that Faraway Kitten showed at Canterbury Park. So
that was
fun. It's nice to hit a 16-1 every now and then. You need those.
Absolutely. That was a nice little payday for anybody out there that listened to me and Jeff Madej last weekend. You cashed a nice little ticket on Faraway Kitten. All right, let's get to three races this weekend. Now, I guess you should at least address that Canterbury Park, in terms of from a gambling perspective, is still open. People can go out there and they can bet on the other racetracks, and they can go down to the casino and bet and all that. But in terms of actual horse races this weekend at Canterbury Park, there is no horse racing.
Right, we'll have a 10-day break here to hold this concert from live racing, but that doesn't mean that the other action stops. We've got great racing every day of the week, horse racing, simulcast betting, and of course our card casino 24/7. So you can always come out here. You just won't see the live horses until Thursday night.
Yep, no, I hear you. All right, let's get to the big race of the weekend, and that would be the Haskell at Monmouth Park. And the reason why that is the big race of the weekend, the horse that a lot of people still remember for winning the Kentucky Derby but then getting disqualified, Maximum Security. He is running and will be the favorite in the Haskell. What did you make of that particular race?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When Maximum Security won the Derby and was disqualified, they waited a month and a week, I think like five, something like that, to bring him back, and he came back in a $150,000 race. So he exits the $2 million Kentucky Derby to run in a $150,000 race, which seems strange to me, Henry.
Yes.
He can make a lot of money to run a horse like that in that race. He showed the good speed that he always does, and then just came up short and got passed by a horse that probably, you know, most would say is not as good as he is, King for a Day, who's also in the Haskell. So I think maybe that was just maybe a tune-up possibly for this race. I think we're going to see a better Maximum Security, but he's still going to be pressured on the front end, and sometimes when that happens with horses, you can see him falter a little bit. So I'm not going to say he's a lock. He's 8-5 on the morning line, but he certainly looks good, and we know the kind of talent that he has.
Okay, so would you say that, you know how like a lot of people look at in sports, they'll say it's this particular athlete or this team, they have to show something here so that we can think highly of them in the future. Do you think that is the position that Maximum Security is in right here, that this horse really needs to win this race to be highly thought of going into the fall?
I do think so, because if you recall, when we talked about this horse in the spring before the Derby, this was a horse that was, in its debut, was in a maiden claiming race, a $16,000 maiden claiming race. So obviously the trainer and the owners didn't think that highly of him. And he won that one easily and then went on to win, you know, numerous races, including the Florida Derby, which was a grade one. So he went from the very bottom to the very top and then won the Derby and was disqualified. So I do think he still has doubters that think that there is, you know, that he's got some weaknesses, and I think he's going to have to prove it. But he is such a fast horse. He has brilliant speed, and he's shown early in his career that he could come from off the pace. So if everything is right and the workout suggests that he's been training fairly well and the trainer seems that to have him where he wants him, I have to think Maximum Security is the one to beat. Now, I don't know if you've found a horse to beat him or not.
Well, Maximum Security is going to be the favorite, and he should be, but I'm going to go with the five-horse Mucho Gusto.
You like those West Coast shippers.
I'm more of an East Coast guy and a lot of the horses that run in Kentucky, but I bet this horse once early on in the or back in the back over the winter, and I really did like the horse. Now, unfortunately, it didn't, you know, do well enough to get on the Kentucky Derby trail, but I'm going to go ahead and I think he'll probably be, what, the second favorite in this race, second or third favorite in this race?
It depends if how much action King for a Day, who did Maximum Security, takes. But, yeah, he'll be somewhere between 2-1 and 3-1.
Yeah, if I can get 3-1, I'm betting a horse.
And I could see that. You're right. He was very well thought of, won the Robert Lewis, which is a stepping stone to the Santa Anita Derby and then the Kentucky Derby, but had to take a bit of a break after that race, so just never really got back on track until it was too late to get to the Derby. But has won back-to-back races, including the Affirmed, a Grade 3 race at Santa Anita. So Mucho Gusto, again, a horse with speed but doesn't need to take to the lead. So I think you're probably going to have first run at the leaders with Mucho Gusto.
And he's got a pretty good trainer in Bob Baffert.
Bob Baffert's won a few big races along the way.
Yes, yes.
There, and he generally doesn't ship unless he's serious. So, and I like to see the traditional kind of Bob Baffert very fast morning workouts, which Mucho Gusto has. So this is going to be a heck of a horse race. No one's handing it to Maximum Security, that's for sure.
All right, we're talking to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on Lake's Big Bet on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, let's go to the Molly pitcher at Monmouth Park. To me, I mean, Midnight Bisou is the horse to beat, and he's going to be the heavy favorite. I'm struggling to bet the race. if I had a ton of money and I just – when I say a ton of money, if I had just a lot of money to blow, I'd probably just put it on Midnight Bisou and just get whatever I can get back on this race. But the one horse in here that's a little bit interesting is Pacific Wind, and strictly from a class perspective.
Yeah, and it's Chad Brown, who's another – if you talk about Bob Affer on the West Coast winning a lot of races, Chad Brown wins all the races on the East Coast. So Pacific Wind at 8-1 probably – is worth looking at. Midnight Bisou, though, is just this filly is she's won 9 of 15 races, almost $3 million, has, you know, such tactical speed and just real brilliance. And you get Mike Smith, who's another guy who certainly knows how to get to the winner's circle in graded races. So I think Midnight Bisou just slowly making her way to the Breeders' Cup. She ran in the Breeders' Cup last year, which, you know, is always the first week in November, and ran third, but was in against some pretty good company and took some money that day. But I think this is the path now that trainer Steve Asmussen is going to take. He's going to pick off some races like this, and she will. She's 3-5 on the morning line, and she'll probably be, you know, could be less than 3-5. So you're right. This is a tough race to really get super excited about unless you can find a reason to beat Midnight Bisou. So, I, you know, if you want to take a stab here with Pacific Wind, you're going to get all of 8-1, and I can't blame you for that.
All right,
you got a little bit of that Faraway Kitten money to spend now anyway.
You know what? Let me spend a little bit of that money in this Del Mar race. Del Mar, okay, let's talk about that track for a second. Del Mar opened up on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday was opening day there. We had Saratoga the week before and then Del Mar. So we're in the peak of probably some of the most exciting racing of the year, really.
All right, so Del Mar opened up on Wednesday. They have the San Clemente. That's coming up this weekend. And in that race, the class of the race is the 8-horse Stillwater Cove. But in that race, and that horse will probably go off as the favorite at 5-2, 3-1. But I'm going to go with the 6, overemphasize, shortening up a bit, and should like the distance. I'm going to go with the overemphasize.
Interesting pick. Yeah, and Stillwater Cove is a horse who hasn't run since early, or I guess it was mid-May. So a little bit of a layoff here, and it's a horse that comes from the East Coast, now shipping over to the West Coast. But this horse was able to ship, was shipped over to Ascot in Great Britain after winning at Keeneland in Kentucky. It didn't run really well there, but those were some of the best horses in the world, but then came right back last year to Saratoga and won. So Stillwater Cove can move around without any worries. I would like to beat that horse as well, though, and the horse I'm going to use is the 9 Maxim Rate. I just believe that milers are milers. If you can find a good miler, and Maxim Rate is 2 for 2 going a mile distance. This is a 1 mile on the turf. I think this horse has a lot of upside here. Might be the fastest finisher of them all. Not a big price, 3-1, but I'm hoping that we get that price. So number 9, Maxim Rate, is my pick at Del Mar in the San Clemente.
All right, before we're done, you got a couple of things coming up here in regards to Canterbury Park. Friday is Cocktail Classics. Cocktail Classics. Tell me about that.
That's an interesting event. It's one of the kind of events that we do that we sell. It's a separate from live racing, although it takes place up in our Triple Crown room, so you can look out over and watch the live races. But we have a bunch of distillers, local distilleries, in with their products, and people can sample those along with some appetizers from our executive chef. So it's a cool night. We do another one. We've done it earlier, which was Uncorked, which was local wine. This is now Minnesota Distilleries, so that's a cool thing, and you can get info on the website then. And then we roll right into the next day, one of your favorite days, the Wiener Dog and Donuts Day, where we have Wiener Dog races. That was our original breed. Now, you mentioned Pitbull, and I guess time will tell, but there's a chance that Pitbull might be the fifth most popular dog at Canterbury this summer. You've got Corgis, you've got Wiener Dogs, Basset Hounds drew 19,000 people, Bulldogs drew 16,000 people, so Pitbull tomorrow's got his work cut out for him if he can beat these other dogs. That's all I can say. Now, I know nothing against Pitbull. I'm sure he could draw a big crowd, but he's, you know, if he wants to make the top 5 of dog breeds, he's going to have to step it up.
You're going to make him work for it.
Yeah, and then after that, you know, the day after Sunday is a day that I think is really important. And you know that jockeys are some of the best athletes, and they also take some of the biggest risks of in any sport. And Leg Up Day is we started the Leg Up Fund back in 2014, and that's to provide assistance to jockeys who get hurt. We're not talking, you know, major injuries. We're talking injuries that prevent them from riding for a month or two or three or four. And this Leg Up Fund will provide funds to them to, you know, to buy groceries, to keep their lights on, things like that. Because if you think about what a jockey, they don't have a guaranteed contract. If a jockey gets hurt, he has no income. He or she has no income, and that's kind of the beauty of the Leg Up Fund. And our race fans here over the years, there's been different funds, the national funds, the Don McBeth Fund, and so on. Our fans, trainers, and horse owners have been so generous, and I know they will again next Sunday for a Leg Up Day. So that to me is a pretty important day, because I've gotten to be good friends with some of these jockeys. We know riders that have been permanently injured, like Ann Von Rosen and Paul Nolan, that were part of the Canterbury family that went to other tracks and got hurt. And it's a dangerous job, and these jockeys they're out there, you know, we're betting on them having a great time, but there's a very serious side to this business as well, and making sure these guys have what they need, that support they need when they're coming back is crucial.
Yep, no question. Hey, Jeff Madej, we'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, Henry, let's win. Let's do some winning tomorrow, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, take care. That's Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on Lake's Big Bet. All right, coming up next, yesterday Corey Heppala was out at Carl Anthony Towns' basketball camp, and Kat said something that had me scratching my head. We'll get to that next here on Lake Night.